an app that sort of features teenagers lip syncing, dancing, creating comedy sketches. How has this become a national security concern?
So, in many regards, it could be considered to be a bit of overreaction. So, when you describe it in the way that you just did, yes, it's highly popular amongst the young population and is predominantly used for the dance video exchanges or lip syncing. There has been some interesting political use of TikTok as well. But fundamentally, it is used by the younger generation as a social media platform. So when you think about it from those perspectives, it's no great risk. But it is, of course, a web-based or app-based service. It does utilize credentials. You have to log into the system to be able to use it and to create your account. So even at the very simplest level, it is a global system collecting, and there's something in the region of 2 billion downloads globally. So we're talking about a very, very significant user base, the kind of level of Facebook, so a very significant number of people. So you've got all of their credentials in one place, all of their personal details in one place, or at least distributed across a database around the world. So just in terms of raw data, as in people's names, their email addresses, their passwords, possibly their mobile phone numbers, that represents a vast wealth of data that has pure financial value. You can sell that stuff. So at the simplest level, it contains data that is valuable and potentially is of risk to certain individuals. But it's when you then expand from that. And it's interesting when you read the privacy policy, which I appreciate nobody ever does. When you read the details of it, there's a little line in there that talks about their ability to consolidate data across devices. Now, I've not seen this in many privacy policies before, and it's quite an explicit statement that shows the power of data. So if you're using TikTok on a number of different platforms, maybe you have a mobile phone, an iPad, maybe you have a laptop or a desktop, their service is able to correlate data across the devices. Now, for some, that will be a bit of a revelation. But for others, they've probably long suspected that was possible, because we've all had the experience of perhaps searching for something on, let's say, Google on a device, and then half an hour later on a different device, suddenly seeing adverts for it appearing, perhaps while you're browsing through the Facebook app. And it's about the power of data. It's what you can do with that. And let's be honest, ByteDance is not an altruistic company doing this for the greater good. They are a commercial entity. And they know, just like Facebook and all the other social media platforms, that providing these services for free gets you the customers. And once you have the customers, you have data. And it's the data that has value. And we've not even touched about the risks of the videos and the data contained within those and the potential harm or damage for individuals in terms of their video content being manipulated or reused. That's just looking at the simple risks. So it really is quite an interesting field to be looking into.
Well, just to touch on that that further risk that you mentioned there in terms of video content and the like, I can see why outfits like the Australian Defence Force might be a little bit wary on those kinds of subjects. But surely that is an enormous wealth of sheer data and information for them to comb through.
Absolutely. So, you know, you couldn't imagine a person or a team of people being able to go through and look at that content. And of course, technology has moved on. So gone are the days that you would trawl through this information manually. We use algorithms. We use software that is specifically designed to identify things within videos. So again, very good example from Facebook. They introduced the concept of facial recognition. So once you've got enough photos of people, the system will be able to recognize those people. So when you upload a new photo, then it will be able to identify the people within it and automatically tag them. Now, that sounds great. And if you're an individual and you're trying to tag all of your friends in the 100 holiday photos, then being able to do it automatically is fantastic. But it's when we then take that concept and apply it in other scenarios. So the police already have the ability to look at CCTV footage automatically and trawl for images of known suspects in particular cases, or perhaps shoplifters in city centres, and they can identify them automatically. And again, most people would say that's not a bad thing. It's a useful public service. But what happens when it then becomes political? So China being the obvious thing to discuss at the moment, we have protests going on both within the country, but also internationally. People who are speaking out against their ethos, against their political views. And that particular country has legislation that potentially could result in someone being imprisoned as a consequence of expressing those views. So if you were in London and you were at a protest march and the footage was recorded, it is quite possible that if that footage is available to the relevant people, together with a bank of photos or videos which in which you have been identified, then all of a sudden you can automatically scan that protest march for people who are of interest to that country. So you could imagine that a web service like TikTok, with vast quantities of video data that has been collected by individuals and so can be assumed to feature that individual, if they are also espousing views that go against the political party of the time, you could imagine a situation where they could demand access to that data. Now, in the particular scenario that we heard about earlier, the company has expressed their opinion that they have not provided that data and would not. But ultimately, they are a Chinese-based company. They are based in Beijing. And the Chinese political vehicle has a lot of power. And I can't imagine that if they suddenly faced a military police presence at the door, that they would still be refusing to hand over that data, regardless of where it is stored in the world. Because we know that in some regimes, a lot of pressure can be exerted on individuals to provide that data.
Obviously, that underlines the really physical dangers that can be associated with being a little bit too lax on these kinds of things. But would it be fair to say that TikTok itself is in the firing line largely as a result of these rising tensions around China, when perhaps we should be a little bit more concerned with our data across the board with other services, like you mentioned, the likes of Facebook, Instagram, all these various other apps, which, as you quite rightly pointed out, we never really read the privacy statements of. I mean, do we need more of a blanket approach?
Absolutely. So there's no argument that the current situation is mainly focused around the political tensions between Australia and China, and indeed many nations and China. So there is a global interest in the rise of these social network apps. And it's worth noting it's definitely not just social networking. So for many home users, they've bought various digital devices, including CCTV systems. Most of those are manufactured by Chinese companies, and many of the software services that are running on them are operating out of Chinese data centers. Excuse me. So we have got a lot of data being sent from countries around the world into China. So there's obviously going to be a significant focus at times of political tension. But we do need to be perhaps a little bit more grown up about recognizing that our data has value to other people. And whether that is the simple concept of our account being stolen and our username and password being leaked and being reused by adversaries. So the classic technique is that you steal a database from a website, and let's say it was TikTok, and we've got 2 billion passwords. I could then go through that list, find the email addresses for each user, and I could then, at the very least, try that password against that email account provider. So I could be going into Gmail, for example, and I could be trying the password I've just stolen, because we know that large proportions of the population reuse the same password. And once you're into a second service or a third service, you then begin to snowball and try those credentials against many, many other services. And if I can get into your email account, then, of course, how do you reset your password on other services? It's almost always via an email. So I've now got control of your email account and the means of resetting passwords in all of your other ones, which potentially could involve online banking. So we need to recognize that in all these free services, there is potential risk. And we know it happens. And another great example came from LinkedIn a few years ago when millions of passwords were stolen from their system. And that's a well-regarded, well-used website. It is very much focused on professionals. And yet their security at that time was to such an extent that it was easily compromised. So do we really believe that the likes of TikTok or other providers are any better or any worse than those organizations? So we just need to recognize that there is risk, that our data has value, and perhaps start to be a little bit more careful about how we use these services. And the absolute simplest thing that people can do is make sure that every service they use, every app, every website has a unique password. Now, we as humans can't do that easily, so there are apps that help you to do that. And there are apps that run exclusively on your phone and will act as a password safe. And if that's too much, even having a notebook that you lock away with a selection of passwords. You're not going to find that as the standard cyber advice coming out of most organizations, but it's still better than having the same password on every single website, because it only takes one of them to be breached and potentially they're into lots of other accounts.
Well, Paul, I've got some passwords to go and change, so I think I'm going to have to let you go. That is excellent advice. I do definitely appreciate your insight into this one this morning.
My pleasure. Have a good day.